And turn to Acts chapter 19. That's page 136 in the church Bibles. Actually, I think I'll start on 135, Acts chapter 18. And here's the story, or part of the story, of two visits, in fact, of St. Paul to the city of Ephesus. So we start at Acts chapter 18 and verse 18. After staying in Corinth for a considerable time, Paul said farewell to the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. At Kenchreae, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. When they reached Ephesus, he left them there, but first he himself went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined, but on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." Then he set sail from Ephesus. He travels around to Caesarea, to Jerusalem, to Antioch, through Galatia and Phrygia, and then he returns to Ephesus, and we'll turn over the page. He returns at the beginning of chapter 19, but we'll come now to verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue at Ephesus, and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. When some stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way before the congregation, he left them, taking the disciples with him, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. Again, page 136 we'll start on, where we've just got to, Acts chapter 19. And you might like to use the notebooks and pencils if you like to take notes. The outline of this talk will go up on the screen. And let me simply say as well before I pray that there are going to be in this sermon quite a number of true stories, but for confidentiality's sake, as I do on a number of occasions when telling true stories from the pulpit, some details will be, in some cases, fairly radically changed. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the Bible, and for how even seemingly insignificant parts of it can teach us a great deal. Help us, therefore, we pray now, to look into these verses in Acts 19, to understand them and to see their relevance for us as a church at this stage of our development. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are just 7 days to go to the festival, and I'm feeling guilty. Other people are clearly inviting guests. I hear some events are already sold out, or nearly so, but I haven't got anyone coming with me to any event. I wonder if that's how you're feeling. I know Andrew is encouraging us to invite people to the service next Sunday or to the Sunday after that, but I just haven't got the enthusiasm I've had during previous festivals. And what if I've invited in the past everyone I know? Surely I can't go on inviting the same people, can I? Mightn't they feel I'm banging on about it too much? And what if my friends already know the Christian message? They're not exactly pagans. Most of them went to Sunday school and have known the basic Christian story since they were children. They've got their own opinions. There's no changing them now. Well, if that represents at all accurately how you are feeling at the moment, it's worth looking again at Acts 19, verses 8 to 10. Here, Luke describes the practice of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. And I sum it up as, in it, that is, in witnessing for Christ, in it for the long haul. So first, Paul's practice says to us, keep speaking about Christ to the same people. Look at chapter 19, verse 8. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. He went to the same synagogue, to the same group of Jews, every week and spoke to them about Jesus. And this wasn't the first time to that group of people. Just to remind you again, turn back a page to chapter 18, verse 19. This describes the first time he arrived at Ephesus, chapter 18, verse 19. When they reached Ephesus, Paul left Priscilla and Aquila there, but first he himself went into the synagogue and had a discussion, literally a dialogue, with the Jews. So he'd been and spoken about Christ at the synagogue already. Then he went away to Jerusalem. Now, some months later, he was back, and every week he kept speaking about Jesus to the same Jews. That needs boldness. If you turn over the page to page 136 again, you will see in chapter 19, verse 8, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months Paul spoke out boldly. You remember how last week Jonty showed us from Acts 4 that Peter and John were bold, but all the same they prayed for more boldness, and God answered that prayer. He gave them boldness to keep speaking about Christ. Last month I was at a reunion for some university friends of mine. I well remember how one of them became a Christian. He said, several of my friends kept talking to me about Jesus. And the thing that clinched it for me was, I saw it mattered so much to them that they were prepared to risk their friendship with me by keeping telling me about Jesus. That man is now vicar of St. Andrew the Great in Cambridge, where my daughter Charlotte is now worshipping, where Jess Mansley and Phil Mullins, our associates, were nurtured. The question is, would we have kept going and risked our friendship, or would we have felt we were overdoing it and kept silent? If his friends had done that, he might not be a Christian today. And then this needs persistence. Look again at verse 8. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly. For 3 months every week. That's why the message to us is keep speaking about Christ to the same people. I think of another man whom I linked up with because my father was his headmaster. I talked to him about Christ. Then I discovered that he was interested in the ballet, which I have to confess holds absolutely no interest for me whatsoever. And I bought 2 tickets for him and me for the ballet. He accepted, but never turned up. I sat next to an empty seat for 2 miserable hours. I thought, probably he wants to avoid me. He doesn't want me to speak about Christ to him anymore. I remember going to his student room and outside hearing people inside and so not knocking and slinking away. I very nearly decided to give up. And then I thought, no, to be faithful to Jesus, I must keep witnessing. I went back to his room, not on that occasion, but a few days later, began chatting to him again, and a few months after that, that man became a Christian and then later a missionary to the Middle East. It needs perseverance on our part. In fact, to become a Christian, it takes the average person 2 to 3 years of regular contact with the Christian message. That's why bringing people with you to church week by week can be so significant. And for us, over the next few months, it means inviting long-standing friends to the festival. Most people Catherine and I are inviting are those who have come with us to church or to a church event once or in several cases many times in the past. And then next month to the Christmas services, the same people we've invited to the festival coming with them again. And then in the following month, in the new year, coming with any who have shown interest to the Christianity Explored course. A number on the current courses are being brought by Christian friends who are doing the course with them. Keep speaking about Christ, says verse 8, to the same people. And then there's something else we can learn from Paul's practice. Know when it is time to back off, at least for a period. Let's look now at verse 9. When some of the Jews stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way before the congregation, Paul left them, taking the disciples with them, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Now, Paul clearly believed there are circumstances in which perseverance can become counterproductive. Some of the Jews to whom he'd been speaking in the synagogue week after week absolutely refused to believe. They'd closed their minds. In fact, it got to the point where some of them were speaking out against Christianity. And Paul clearly felt to go on would be a mistake, and he, with those who had become Christians, withdrew. I'm wondering at the moment whether there's one man I've been witnessing to for quite a long time now whom I should back away from. I met him for the first time 2 years ago when I went with another member of the church family door-to-door visiting. And over the last 2 years, we've spoken several times about Christ. We've gone out to the pub together for lunch. We've walked together on the forest. I've lent him one or two Christian books. And for quite a time, he seemed interested. But over the last 4 months, he hasn't been responding to my emails or telephone calls. And I'm wondering, or perhaps to be slightly more precise, I was wondering whether I ought to back off. But as it happens, because I had invited him to something at the festival and I hadn't heard anything, which has been a bit par for the course recently, I rang him again last night and spoke to him. And although he can't come, I'm thinking God is saying, keep going. Keep going with him. But sometimes it is right to back off, and yet there will be other ways of reaching the same people. When Paul left the synagogue, he started speaking in a secular building. Now look what happened, verse 10. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. And for our purposes, the key word here is Jews. You see, they no longer heard the Christian message in the synagogue from Paul, but some did hear him when he spoke in the hall of Tyrannus, or perhaps at some other occasion. It was a different and for them more acceptable way. I think of a lady whom I also met door to door, this time 7 years ago, with the video of the Jesus film. And as we were doing at that time, I arranged to go back with a questionnaire about the film. But before I got there, she rang up and cancelled the meeting. And I tried, I should think, at least half a dozen times to fix another date. She would never be pinned down. And eventually, I felt I can't go on, I called it a day. But this year there's been trouble in her family, and she got back in touch with me. And over these last few months, we've been talking about faith in Jesus, and she is very clearly making progress towards him. She is someone who's accepted an invitation to the festival. You may meet her. So there is a time to back off, but later it may be right to return to the subject of Jesus. Catherine and I are inviting some to hear John Chapman, whom we've actually been out of contact with for probably about 10 years, but who last heard him when he was here in 1996. And I happen to have a record of who we'd invited and who'd come along, and so I've invited them again, and quite a number of them have said, actually very enthusiastically, yes. And don't back off too easily. I think of someone who was living in Crowborough, and I talked to him several times about Christ and got nowhere. I thought I should back off. But John Hobbs also knew him, and he didn't back off. I remember actually being slightly miffed with John at the time. Sorry about that, John, but I do remember that. That man not only came back to Christ, I'm sure you'll remember who I'm talking about, but sometime later went to theological college. And a third principle to learn from this passage is if we do have to break off from witnessing to some of our friends, find others to whom to speak about Jesus. Did you notice that in verse 9? When some stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way, that's the Christian message, before the congregation, Paul left them, taking the disciples with him, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. He felt he'd said enough to the Jews in the synagogue, that it would be counterproductive to keep witnessing to them, but that didn't mean that he shut up. He just found another group of people to whom he could talk about Jesus. And if it really is true with some of our friends that for the time being at least we've talked to them enough about Jesus, we too should look for other friends, if necessary join some society or group to whom we can speak. Someone after the 9:15 said, you know, for various reasons I don't have all that many friends in Crowborough, but I wish I had gone door-to-door visiting, because that would have given me people to whom I could speak about Jesus and in some cases then develop a friendship, an ongoing friendship with them. I'm sure that woman will join the door-to-door visiting team when we start again in the spring. And my daughter Charlotte is doing precisely this at the moment. For her first 2 years at university, her closest friends were the people that she lived near in the first year. But she's spoken to all of them about faith in Jesus and not got very far. So she's not dropped them altogether, certainly not. But she has sought out new friends. She is deliberately meeting new people, and the result is, with one Chinese girl, she is now reading the Bible week by week, and she's bringing another one or two to church with her each week. So we may need to find others to whom to speak to Jesus and then persevere with them. That's what Paul did. He started speaking at the lecture hall of Tyrannus, we might say the CCA hall or the WI hall. And verse 10, this continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. He kept going. I long for Charles Wesley's words to be true of me and all of us at All Saints. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name. Have the next click. Preach him to all and cry in death, behold. Behold the Lamb. And here, as Rory Graham keeps reminding me, our example is Chapa. He is over 80. He might have felt, I can give this up now, stop witnessing for Christ. But he keeps speaking about Christ in his native Australia, and he'll be speaking not only publicly, but personally to some of our friends here in Crowborough. And I hope that when I am 80, and when you are 80, you and I will still be talking with our friends about Jesus. And if we all embrace this message from the book of Acts, if we all get stuck into Christian witnessing like Chapo, like Paul, for the long haul, what will be the result? The result will be that the whole of Crowborough will hear the Christian message. Look again at verse 10. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia, that's a province of Turkey, it's not all of what we call Asia, all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All of us members of this church family, and it would need to be all of us, so courageous, so refusing to be put off, so persistent, so winsome, so taking risks with our friends for Christ, that the whole of Crowborough came to hear the Christian message. I don't just mean that the whole of Crowborough should know that All Saints and St. Richard's are vibrant churches which a lot of people go to. No, 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 much more important than that. That the whole of Crowborough should know that to come to Christ, what one needs to do is to repent. That is to put the past behind us and to turn and reach out to Jesus as our friend and our Savior, and our Lord. That everybody should know that that's what they need to do and should know people well enough to see living examples of the change that coming to Christ has meant for us. And not just hearing the word of God, but also that many will respond. Look at how this section of Acts ends, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And that too will be marvelous if we persevere and God blesses us. So that over these next 2 weeks at the festival, there will be, as there have been at every festival in the past, but perhaps more than ever before, because of our faithfulness and God's goodness, there will be people who are actually making that all-important step of putting their life into the hands of Jesus Christ. And then at the Christmas services, just a few weeks later, There will be people like Carol Phillips and Tess Powderham and Tony Bennett, people in our church family now who over the last few years, and in Carol's case, a few years longer still, at Christmas time, gave their lives to Jesus Christ and know him and rejoice in him now. And how exciting if some of those are the people whom you have brought, who are your friends. Or perhaps they don't quite get that far, and then just a few weeks after that, you come with them to the Christianity Explored course in January morning or evening. And there before your very eyes, this friend of yours, like a flower, like a bud, begins to open up to Jesus Christ. And each week you pray, and each week you see it happening more and more. That's happening at this very moment in our Christianity Explored courses. How glorious if it happened with a friend whom you were bringing along. And then that we should look back at about this time next year and say, in Crowborough, over these last 12 months, the word of the Lord has grown mightily and prevailed. Let's pray it will be so. Well, Father, what a wonderful story in Ephesus. How we thank you that Paul, who had many discouragements and many setbacks, absolutely refused to give up. How we thank you that he didn't think that one sermon in the synagogue was enough, or one lecture in the hall of Tyrannus. But he went on and on and on and on. And the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Father, you're still the same God. And we are actually more here in church at just this one service than probably there were in all the house churches of Ephesus put together when Paul left. Probably. Father, help us, we pray, to be in this wonderful, though taxing, business of witnessing for Jesus for the long haul, but in it up to our eyes over the next few weeks of the festival and Christmas. And as Christianity Explored begins. And may we see in Crowborough the whole population hearing increasingly the word of the Lord through us. Not just in this building, but in our homes and as we meet people in Morrison's or Waitrose or Little or at the school gate or wherever. And may the word grow mightily and prevail. For the glory of your name. Amen.